Good morning. Today is Wednesday, June the 22nd, 174th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor Ryan Sundberg. Good morning, sir.
What up?
You know, all those trendy things happen right here. Frightening.
It is frightening, yeah.
Particularly because I have no clue about what it's trendy and what it's not, yeah.
I think it's your style just brings out the... trend in all of us.
Yeah. Our quote this morning, it comes from Michelangelo. His favorite saying, quote, "I'm still learning." Wouldn't that be nice if everybody was saying that, huh?
Yeah. I know I'm still learning.
Yeah. So what do you think about the budget process this week? Is it is anybody caring anymore?
You know, for $308 million or whatever, you know, around there, you would think more people would care or maybe just people just trust us that much. I don't know.
Sure.
But, you know, there's not that many people that comment, you know, for that much money that we don't get more people just saying, you know, hey, we want the money spent here. Or this is what the priorities should be.
Well, I'd argue that there might be a third option there of silos. And while it's big money, there's really not too much that you have any influence on. So until there's extra money to argue about a library or this or that, and the areas that people used to get fired up about, now Measure Z is covering. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of throwing some shekels in that direction.
Yeah, you're definitely right about the silos. Because, you know, half of our budget being Health and Human Services, you spend the money on this or you don't get it. And
roads,
there's no discretion.
Roads is about the only thing that's left that you could really holler about, or maybe the animal shelter or the airport.
Roads, we got ADA issues. We've got some building issues that are long-term issues.
For the public to come in and rail and pound their fists mm-hmm. and get excited about.
Yeah, definitely roads is the one that's, you know, still the big issue. You know, we had an interesting meeting yesterday with talking about the excise tax for cannabis cultivation. And, you know,
I had that down, by the way. Not totally asleep over here.
Nothing gets by you.
Yeah, particularly in light of your presentation at Kiwanis, huh? Yeah.
I need to quit letting you in on my secrets.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things that came up was how much should we tax, and, you know, taking into account all the other bills that a regular business is going to have starting up, you know, as this new industry comes into the light. Then you've got the Senator McGuire bill that does sales tax, you know, shouldn't affect us as much because that sales tax is probably going to get passed on to the consumer down in LA and San Diego, Sacramento. The Jim Wood bill that's being floated through is a cultivation tax, and then the county's excise tax, where, you know, the state cannot touch any of the money that we raise from our own excise tax. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about and I had our county council look into was, you know, if you know how a business works is if they buy a piece of equipment, you know, within a week, they're going to get a letter from the assessor's office saying, oh, a nice new piece of equipment. Here's your tax bill for it. You add a garage onto your house, or you build a house out in the middle of nowhere with no permits, you might not get a letter from county building and planning, but you sure as heck are going to get a letter from the assessor's office saying that you owe this much in taxes, right?
If they can get on safely.
Yeah, so, you know, having cannabis be a legal product now, an ag product, where there's a permitting process to it, why is it any different? And so why aren't we looking at going out and finding a way to, you know, get the taxes from even the ones who aren't coming in for permitting? I mean, it's the difference between being a rich county and a poor county.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan was talking with a buddy earlier this week. Yes, I've got buddies too. Okay. I know. Shock and awe.
How much does that cost you?
Yeah. And he was indicating that from his perspective, it would be relatively easy to get the permit compliance, or at least not to have the county left out. And you just end with the property tax. You just incorporate it in the property tax. If there's those structures you were talking about, if they're on, bang, okay. We presume a certain value, and we just whip it in the property tax. And then if there's a question about that, well, then they come in, and then we can talk, and then we'll go out, and we'll do the assessment and make sure everything's okay and make sure that everything's in compliance and the permits are proper and you're getting the water from the right places and all that kind of stuff, and life goes on.
So, yeah, we're basically talking about the same thing. And I was talking more of like, these are, you know, if you've got a 100-by-20-foot greenhouse, you are commercially cultivating medical marijuana.
Something in there,
right?
Yeah.
It's not personal use, because the new laws that came through, the MRSA law, is very clear that 100 square feet is personal, 100 square feet and under is personal, and then anything more than that is commercial, right? And so the lines are very clear now, and you either have a permit or you don't, and then, you know, and I'm hoping you either pay your taxes or you don't. And so
what about the compliance issue? I know that's the big $64,000 question, I suppose, mm-hmm. is the compliance and the safety of those looking to ensure compliance. Was that part of the discussion yesterday morning with the excise tax, that the proceeds from whatever is raised, whatever the projected amount is, and if it's, I would like to think it's $1 for the first year until you know what's going on, that would go towards the enforcement of?
So that this McGuire sales tax has a large portion of that going into enforcement.
At the state level or the
state
county
level? But
okay.
What they would do is they'll pass it on to the sheriff through grants. The woods bill also has a portion going for enforcement and remediation and that kind of thing. And then the counties, you know, when we have ours, you know, we can see what money comes in from the state, because we hear it's going to be competitive, you know, but we've got the most impacts here. So
really, it's competitive?
That's what they say, yeah. It's going to be a grant process, so you have to...
What harebrained idea pulled that one up? I mean, that's stupid. I mean, you look at where it's being manufactured illegally.
Mm-hmm.
Duh. You know, if San Francisco gets some...
I didn't make the rule. I'm just following.
No, I'm just thinking, what in the world is... You would think that there would have been a reimbursement percentage already put in place based on current knowledge, common knowledge, 30-year trending history, whatever you want to do,
yeah.
Instead of saying, okay, now you have to hire a grant writer to put something together to try to get your, not your unfair share, just your fair share, mm-hmm. out of the...
We've got grant
another
writers.
Another level of bureaucracy in the equation.
It is what it is. And, you know, with our own excise
Not
going to
twist on this one, huh?
Well, I mean, there's nothing I can do about it, so no reason to get twisted. So... But we will be able to fill in those gaps with our own excise tax. I guess that's what I wanted to say is, you know, so if we
100%?
Yeah, there's a lot. These numbers are really big. You know, we're talking about, you know, with a couple hundred people coming into compliance, we're talking like $10 million. So there's been...
That's projected or that's what has happened so far?
That's projected.
Okay.
You know, we've got 40 in the pipeline right now, and there's 500 people have taken out their water board permits. And so the next step for those people once they, because you have to get your Fish and Wildlife and your water, your State Water Resources Control Board permit to get the county permit. So that's why we set up this cannabis services division, and we're starting to staff up for that, because if we get 500 farms online, that's a lot of work, and that's also a lot of tax money, a huge, huge amount. I mean, and then if we...
What was that division called again? Cannabis compliance?
Cannabis services. It's basically just so we know, we don't want people who are getting house permits or, additions and apartments and that kind of thing. We don't want them getting held up either. So we're separating it so that, instead of taking all the permits at once, and then, there's a whole rush of cannabis permits that come in and someone doesn't get their house permit, they're going to be really upset. So at least this way they're separate, and the people who build houses will still have their permits processed in orderly fashion. And I just think it's a better way to go about it.
I get it. I mean, you have a high demand niche.
Yeah.
It makes sense. It's just, yeah.
So just to let you know what, like an average, farm that's 22,000 square feet, say, I mean, that could be somewhere around $50,000 a year in taxes just for that one farm. So we're talking potential doubling our budget, basically, our general fund budget, with what could come online here. So Humboldt County could have no money problems if this thing goes right.
Yeah. What are the projected social costs associated with this, or do you think it's going to be less?
Well, today when we did the ballot language, that's what we talked about a lot is, substance abuse treatment, mental health for children, those social
mental
costs.
Health period.
Yeah. And how do we beef all that up? And so the people that need help and want help, one of the testimony that we had yesterday was there's a mom that wanted to get clean, but she's got kids and she couldn't, there was nowhere for her kids to go, so she's going to have to wait till her kids are grown before she can go get treatment. That is not the most healthy thing for those kids. And so we need to find a way to fix that.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg, Humboldt County Supervisor in the 5th District. That's where McKinleyville is. That's where things are going on big time. That's where the hum of Humboldt County is.
It's happening.
Why doesn't more of Humboldt County understand how active McKinleyville is?
We keep it to ourselves a lot, and I don't know. You weren't really aware of what was going on until you asked, and I said, "Well, we got this and this and this and this."
Yeah, you pulled out your list of a dozen there, and I kind of felt, well, I didn't feel kind of, I felt stupid. And a lot of the stuff certainly is behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But there's certainly a general sense of malaise in the area. Okay. Why is McKinleyville so special, so unique in this regard, that things are really happening there, like a normal community in this country?
Well, it starts at the top.
That would be Bella Vista?
Damn. He didn't fall for it. McKinleyville is a close-knit community still, even though it's grown so much. You know, I've lived in McKinleyville my whole life and never moved from McKinleyville. And it still has that small-town feel for me, you know, where everybody waves at everybody, and you know it's a lot bigger now, but it still feels small. And you know, we have our little rash of crime lately, it's like everybody has, but I tell people, it's like, yeah, I go to Eureka and Fortuna and these other communities, I'm like, we don't have it as bad as these other places, trust me, we're actually doing pretty well. And you know, we have a extremely generous community. Humboldt in general is very generous, but you know, McKinleyville is really generous. And if there's a library or a sheriff's substation or community center, teen center, trails, you name it, they try, you know, they want to raise money to get something done in McKinleyville, it happens, you know. And it's just fun being part of that.
Is it a cultural thing?
Yeah, I guess it would have to be cultural. And you know, it's the people take care of the community, and you know, stop and help someone change a tire, and you know, give back. You know, it's, I well, know it, that's it's the way I was raised.
It's intriguing for me, being a Eureka native.
My apologies.
No, you had nothing to do with it. You don't have to. The amount of traffic that we have.
Yeah.
Fleeing might be a good word, since I used it earlier, but. Just on the roadways in the mornings and the afternoons from Eureka north and south. And it's not like Eureka doesn't have traffic either in, mm-hmm. in town going home. Just the concept of a bedroom community really hadn't existed until, I guess, the mills shut down and McKinleyville started to grow.
Yeah.
That dynamic is what I see as the difference. There's not that much employment in town during the weekday. But, boy, there are a lot of folks going back and forth. At the end of the day and the beginning of the day, and maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, it could be. I think more and more there's, you know, businesses are locating in McKinleyville to, you know, hopefully people don't have to leave as much. They'll be able to work and live in the same town, and you know, I think that's going to be great. You know, the more we get businesses in there, the better. And be nice to have some kind of industrial kind of jobs. You know, where, you know, the blue collar. Can buy a house.
Regular guy jobs.
Yeah, we have a lot of medium to lower end wage jobs in McKinleyville, but
well, the service sector. I mean, that's you know, in a bedroom community, that's
kind of what
probably
it is.
What you're going to have. Yeah, without changing the character significantly.
Yeah.
What do you see out there on the horizon? I know during the campaign you had some hopes, and whether or not those are percolating or not, I'm not at liberty to discuss.
Yeah, I mean, there's still some of these things are still floating out there. It's you know, when you start digging into them, you just start doing the feasibility reports for them, it comes, you know, it's a lot tougher than your ideas. Reality sucks sometimes. But you know, I've stayed committed to, there's businesses that, you know, need help in the things that I have control over, and permitting and that kind of thing. And you know, I just do whatever I can to help them get going and be successful. And
with some of those dollars that I guess everybody is quietly hoping for from the marijuana stuff, that might be in the community, mm-hmm. and available. Yeah, I don't know if hoping for is the right phrase. Are any of those dollars earmarked for economic development? I mean, real development, not how Humboldt County has defined it in the past, but actually having significant impact to either existing businesses or attracting businesses. You know, I still look at the UPS guys driving at 7 or 8 o'clock at night in the middle of summer. People are buying things out of the area that we should be able to plug in and keep those dollars at least once or twice circulated here, mm-hmm. instead of one and gone.
Yeah, that's with the internet, you know, it's pretty.
Well, we had catalogs before.
No, but it's a whole different thing.
Things
now
have grown significantly since then, yeah.
I've got the Amazon app on my phone, and it is very, very easy to press one button and have something at your house in a couple of days, you know. And
versus driving downtown or
yeah,
a couple blocks away,
Eureka
you get it?
And go find where to park and go
let's
in.
Let's say it's on Central.
Yeah, no, I
that,
I
that
buy,
same product was there in Central. Yeah, would you?
I always go
be on your butt and order, or would you go down and
no,
buy
I
it?
No, I go downtown and buy it. Yeah, because I.
So those are the things. That,
but I do that because I know, you know, because I know what it means to that business. You know, if they don't have me buying it or these other people buying it, they go away. You know, and it's those jobs go away. And so, if I can get it in town, I get it. If it's in Eureka, I might hit the button because I don't,
more effort.
Yeah. Yeah, so it just depends, but it's I can see there's a lot of people that I know that buy almost exclusively online, and so how can we tap into that? Is there sales tax we can get off of that and create other opportunities? And
how about an employment base that says it's more convenient to buy locally than it is to buy electronically? Or that may be swimming upstream with certain lifestyles. Okay,
maybe,
I get it.
Or maybe we develop a Humble app that has these products where you go first before you hit the button for Amazon. You hit the button for the Humble app and see if it's local first and get it from somewhere local.
There's all kinds of different options that are out there. And I see that under that umbrella of Humble economic development.
Mm-hmm.
Is that department properly funded? Is it funded at all?
It's not, no. You know, it's
so where it's kind of in spite of.
It's floating along right now, but it's not where it's definitely, you know, where it needs a whole revamp, and we all know that. And so once we have the money to do the whole revamp, you know, we'll put some more effort into it. But your earlier question about the excise tax and economic development, it's on the very first line of it is economic development. So we definitely want to keep that option open. And
Pabstein defined or Bone defined?
It says economic development. I don't know.
Gotcha. Whoever. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:44. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
Whoever can make the best case.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, you'd indicated there's a lot of cool stuff going on in McKinleyville, even though I might have played with you a little bit there. What does summertime look like? What are you seeing that's out there that's that next neat thing?
For projects?
Okay. Projects, developments.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the budget is the next best thing because it's going to be a positive one. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
So McKinleyville is getting Central Avenue, have a safety project done on it, and we're going to have, there's two crosswalks that go all the way across all five lanes in Central Avenue, and they're both pretty dangerous to get all the way across the street, and so they're going to have lights in the road. They're going to have...
That would be like the ones that Eureka has a couple of them,
yeah,
they just kind of
flash
and get the extra...
road, so you know there's somebody in the crosswalk, because it's... For some reason, it's just really hard to tell when you're turning left onto Central Avenue if there's somebody on there. And it's, I know you'd have to drive it to see it, but I see people almost get hit all the time. Then there'll be a little center.
Safety island.
Safety island that's going to be in the middle of both of those. And then the other cool part is, and then the whole thing will be all repainted. So all the, you know, lines will be brand new. Then they'll have green bicycle lanes on the sides, so you know the bike.
So people, the green bicycles can drive on them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then green wheels or whatever they call them.
Yeah, those goofy then, bikes that have the little turbo thing in
one
them.
One of the cool things about this also was we got a little bit of extra money in a grant that Director Mattson found, and the fire departments are going to have the little clicker to turn the lights.
Oh, the automatic.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's.
So we'll be able to get to emergencies a little quicker, and So I'm looking forward to seeing that project come to completion. And it was, you know, a couple of years in the making, and lots of McKinleyville Municipal Advisory Committee meetings, McKinleyville Organizing Committee
for the
meetings,
flashing lights on the walks or the well, blippers?
The project started off with medians, raised cement medians in the middle of Central Avenue, and that was not a very popular idea.
Put some trees in it, probably be okay.
No. Because the fire department and the ambulance and the sheriff, they use that middle lane to get around traffic to get to.
I thought McKinleyville was all very polite people and they'd all pull over to the side.
Sometimes you don't see them coming.
Kind of like the end of this show. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
See you tomorrow.